Diane Snyder, welcome once again.
Well, thank you, Susan. I'm delighted to be here and talk to your great listeners.
Well, you are a former legislator, and you had a lot of experience with the legislature before you went into it, so you weren't sort of taken unawares. But you also were in the party that wasn't in power, so you didn't have the experience of having committee chairs and things like that. So one of the things I wondered is if you felt that you had power while you were a legislator.
I'm very lucky, Susan. While I was there, they started the minority leader of the committee, and I was that for Corporations and Transportation Committee. And I felt like both chairmen, I had two different chairmen during the 8 years, is both extended a great courtesy to me. I had input on what was going on the agenda, what would be a consensus bill. Those were the kinds of things. So I think, yes, in that sense, as the minority leader of the committee, I think, yes, we did have some influence. And I think also it depends a lot on, as I said, on the chairman. If the chairman is willing to extend that courtesy, then you have a great deal more influence. Overall, I would say probably had we not had those positions, the ranking members, then we would not have had influence because you don't really get a say. But I'm fortunate we had good chairs. I think some chairs where we have had women have been very powerful and influential. I think Senator Lopez, chair of rules, very powerful, very influential, because she controls the agenda of what's being heard. And as you know, the confirmations are heard first in rules before they go to the floor. So I think some committee chairs have a great deal of power and influence. In the House, not so much. The Speaker still has the absolute power, whereas in the Senate, we have Senate Council that is made up of leadership of both parties and the president pro tem of the Senate. So they make more of the decisions than just one individual does.
Okay.
So I think that's the difference between the two chambers.
Okay. That's interesting to bring out. Do you think part of it was because of Senator Ingle, because he was willing to share power, or he didn't want to amass it?
He is not a power grabber or power seeker. He is a very soft-spoken gentleman in many ways. He looks for conciliation. He truly does believe that we have to work together. I was fortunate. The years I was there, we had 18 Republicans. So with a few conservative Democrats, we had a little more influence. And we had Senator Manny Aragon as majority leader, and then Senator Tim Jennings during that time period. Senator Aragon, of course, was very powerful and used a lot of control. Mm-hmm. Senator Jennings, longtime friend of Senator Ingalls, so they worked very closely. Senator Michael Sanchez was not the leader when I was there, but became the leader. Senator Ingalls worked very well together. Mm-hmm. And then Senator Mary Kay Papin, as president pro tem, very easy to work with and truly does see a big picture. And I admire her greatly. I think she's very influential. I think that her wisdom and her insight and her willingness to work together with both sides for the betterment of New Mexico is clear in everything she does.
Okay. I sometimes had the feeling that you had power because you didn't always vote the way the party was voting or the way people told you to vote. And because you learned about the issues, you know, you seem to not make up your mind right away.
I think that anyone who does that has a greater influence than someone who is so far to the left or the right. I think I had Democrat legislators come to me and say, would you co-sponsor this bill? And I might say, oh, look at the title. And they said, no, look at it and let's see if there are things we can modify that you really object to, that we can work together. And I was never one to stand up and look for the glory and the credit. I thought it was really important that we get good legislation passed. And I joked one time, Governor Richardson was governor at the time, and I said 50% of the time I'm in trouble with him, and 50% of the time I'm in trouble with my party, so I must be doing something right for the people of New Mexico.
That was going to be another question. Did you... I've heard stories and I've known incidents where when people didn't vote the way the party wanted or the way they were being told by somebody that they would find notes on their desks or find retribution. Mm-hmm. I wondered if you experienced things like that.
No, I didn't. And I think I gained the respect of both sides. They knew that I wasn't doing that just for the party or just against the governor at the time. It was more, I truly did believe what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. And that may have been also because you had a sort of middle-of-the-road district.
Definitely a swing district. Definitely. The fact is, higher Democrat registration than Republican.
Oh, okay.
So it was... My district was, to me, really unique. I had 7 elementary schools, 5 of which were over 80% free and reduced lunch populations, mm-hmm. and the other 2 were less than 30%. So one vote did not fit the entire district. So I really had to think about what was going to be the best for the people.
Okay, good. You're also involved with the legislature now, still. Do you think that women have gained in power, or is it about the same, or what?
I think they very much have gained in power. I particularly notice it among the younger legislators. They don't have the good old boy attitude that I started lobbying the New Mexico legislature in 1983, and it truly was the good old boys club, but they were also good old boy gentlemen. Mm-hmm. In the old days, the Ike Smalleys and the Joe Gants and the Martinez's, I mean, they were truly gentlemen. And so you were treated, but it was still the good old boys club. Mm-hmm. And I think our younger elected officials, and I particularly see this in the House because there are so many young ones, I see them, I don't think it really matters to them. There are still a few of the old guard, but I think women are accepted for what they can do and what they do and what they say and how they behave.
Okay. I think I agree with that. Can you think of some instances where you felt powerless when you were in the legislature? You know, I can remember one time when I think you did feel powerless.
Yes, I did. Actually, a couple times. One was there was a bill for an issue that I am very conflicted on, and that is the abortion issue. I very much oppose late-term abortions. I think that we should never eliminate abortion, particularly for women who had no vote in the process of it or not. I don't think it should be used as birth control, because birth control is too readily available. But we did have a vote. And one of the things that we can do in the Senate, is which you cannot do in the House particularly, is you can take a walk. And one of my leaders told me that the bill was coming up, and I left the floor. I went to my leader's office, and I sat and cried the whole time because I could hear what was going on the floor. But it was not, my party had pressured me so hard. And I really felt like I couldn't be and vote the way I really, with good conscience, and share what I thought and felt without destroying my political future in some ways. And I believe that I did a very good job as a legislator for my constituents and for the people of New Mexico, and I wanted to stay and do that. So through good friends and the leadership, I was able to not have to vote on a bill that was so difficult for me.
Mm-hmm. But it was one that you really did want to have. You would have preferred to have your voice heard.
I would very much have preferred to hear my voice heard, but I didn't know how to make it heard truly the way I felt about the issues and what we were doing on that particular bill.
Okay. And then you were going to say there was another...
There was another time. I was a big supporter an advocate for drug courts, the specialty courts, drug and DWI courts.
You worked on that a lot.
Yes, worked on that a great deal. Fact is, was awarded the Drug Court Champion Award from the courts themselves, and I was so thrilled. I still have that nombe dish. But we were trying to get some of the DWI monies that were coming in, and it ended up going against me on the vote. And I had two of my closest friends on the Republican side vote against me. They voted that the money would all stay with the county instead of going to the drug and DWI courts. And so I left the floor angry, devastated, because I believed so much in knew how successful the drug and DWI courts were that I couldn't believe that anyone wouldn't want to share some of that money.
Yeah.
And it was probably the most surprising and devastating vote, and particularly because it was such close friends that voted against my position.
So. I can hear your voice cracking even
yes.
now. Did you ever ask them why they voted that way?
Actually, I really did know. They were such strong supporters and had been over the years for the county programs. And I'm a supporter of the county programs. I just thought they ought to share some of it with the courts because the courts' programs were successful. And there were statistics to prove that they were successful.
Yeah, and that was the only way we could really get any money.
Yeah, that's the only way we could get additional money. So,
is there another instance that comes to mind?
No, I can't think of anything. I'm sorry, I can't think of anything right this minute, but it was 8 wonderful years of good times and bad times, and you only remember a couple of the that were really difficult, and then I remember the wins too. So, and I was one of those legislators that, so I wouldn't ramble on and on the floor. I would make my points on a piece of paper so that I stood up and I said what I had to say and I sat down instead of going on and on and on. That gets old.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. I really enjoyed this and look forward to hearing it.